Amen. It's awful quiet in here. Praise the Lord. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 7 as we continue through Paul's letters. Matter of fact, this one to the church at Corinth. And let me just say, they don't get any easier as we go through the chapters. They get progressively more difficult as Paul has to deal with the questions coming out of the Christians at Corinth. And they are full of questions. And Paul takes the time to go through and answer them. And as we come to verse 25 through verse 40 of 1 Corinthians, he's already used the first half of the chapter, or the first portion of the chapter, to talk about, of course, the relationship between believers and unbelievers, especially when one comes to know Christ and they get into the church for the first time, and some of those other difficulties that come along with that. As he moves to verse 25 of chapter 7 is interesting as we continue through here. And let me just say this, just kind of by way of introduction to verse 25 through verse 40, let me just say this tonight. Being married or single, either one, has nothing in itself or of itself to do with spirituality at all. Has nothing to do with it. Whether married or single, doesn't make any difference. In verse 25 through verse 40, Paul is predominantly going to deal with unmarried Christians. Those who are single or those who have become widowed or whatever the case may be, Paul is going to deal with that particular status of individual. And let me say this, Paul had already addressed this group briefly in verse 8 and verse 9 of chapter 7. If you look back at verse 8 and verse 9, Paul kind of touched on it just a little bit when he said, I say therefore to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, then let them marry, for it's better to bury, to marry than to burn. Okay? When you look at those. So Paul had already made reference to that group in those two verses. And it was just kind of a brief mention of them in verse 8 and verse 9. But as we move to verse 25, and their question was, in these verses when you look at it, must a Christian get married? And what about the unmarried women in the church who are not getting any younger? Matter of fact, if you look at verse 36 of chapter 7, you'll see the question that came from the Christians at the church at Corinth. If you look at verse 36 and notice what they asked Paul, but if any man think that he behaves himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she passes the flower of her age, in other words, if I guess there's some magical point somewhere, it's different for all ladies, it's all different for all women, but when they pass that particular point in time and need so require, let him do what he will, he sinneth not, but let them marry. Okay? I mean, it doesn't make any difference when you think about it. So here's what Paul's going to do. He's going to take chapter 7, verse 25 through verse 40, and he's going to kind of break it up into some sections. And the first one that he's going to deal with is found in verse 25 through verse 31. And Paul is going to deal with the present circumstances. And here's what he said. I want you to consider the present circumstances. I want you to consider where things are right now. So as we come to verse 25, Paul opens this part of the response back to the church at Corinth. And I want you to notice what it says. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord. Yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. That word judgment in the Greek there, also when you look at the Greek word, it also speaks of opinion. In other words, Paul said it's of my opinion. He said, I have no commandment of the Lord. And let me tell you what he's doing. Basically what Paul has said here, Jesus gave no direct teaching on the on whether of being single or being married. I mean, there was no direct teaching by Jesus concerning this subject at all. So therefore, Paul says, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment or my opinion as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. And that word faithful also equates to being trustworthy. So in other words, Paul said, I'm going to give you my opinion as one that is trustworthy. There is no commandment directly from the Lord either way concerning this subject. So what I'm going to do is share with you from my heart what I feel like based on what God has laid on my heart to share with you. Verse 26. Paul goes on to say, I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. In other words, in the current circumstance and in the current situation where things were, Paul said, all right, if you're single, it's probably a good thing that you remain there if you can. Verse 27, he said, art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loose. In other words, if you're bound to a wife, then don't go looking to end that relationship. Art thou loosed from a wife? In other words, he said, if you've been loosed from your wife, or for some reason you've been set apart from your wife, then don't go looking for another one. All right? And then he comes to verse 28. He says, but, and let me tell you what, here's what's interesting about these verses, from verse 25 to verse 40, because I went through and I have them highlighted all the way down through. And it's the use of the word but in this passage from verse 25 all the way to verse number 40. Matter of fact, just real quickly, if you go down and look, verse 28 says but. Verse 29 says but. When you go down to verse 32, it says but. Verse 33, but. Look at verse 34, but. Verse 35, but. Verse 36, but. Verse 37, but. Verse 38, but. Verse 39, but. Verse 40, but. So you see all of those down through there. So what he's going to do is interesting as you watch this, is he goes through this, because what he's going to do is he's going to give you this. He's going to say, but there's also this to consider as well. So as we look at verse 26, he says, but. He said, if you marry, you've not sinned. Okay? He said it's not a sinful thing if you go and marry. And if a virgin marries, she hath not sinned either. Okay? In other words, there's no sin committed there. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. He said, but I spare you. In other words, if you do get married, there's going to be difficulties. And I'm going to tell you something. Anytime there's relationships, there's difficulties. Okay? And sometimes, even in single relationships, there can be difficulties. You don't have to be married to experience difficulties in relationships. So that's what Paul says here. I want you to understand that you could still have difficulty. Then in verse 29, he says, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that they, or both they that have wives, be as though they had none. And they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not. And they that use this world is not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away, or the form of this world passes away. So what did Paul mean by all of this that he just said? It was a difficult time in the society in the days of Corinth. Unlike today, or just like today, we have difficulty today. In the world that we live in today, with the difficulty in them trying to redefine what the marriage looks like between what God ordained as a marriage between a husband and a wife, a man and a woman, is not to be deviated from. The difficulties that they were having in the culture at Corinth is not any different than what we're experiencing even in our own country today, and the difficulties that we see, even in the difficulty of relationships between husbands and wives and between single folks. And so as Paul writes this, it's important that we understand that just as it was a difficult time in the society for those in Corinth, it's also a difficult time for us as well. And what Paul goes on to say, but one of the things that I want you to see and I want you to understand, even in light of the difficulties, there's not much time left for serving the Lord. The clock is ticking. Regardless of whether or not Jesus is going to return quickly or not, it has to do with our own lives. There's just not a whole lot of time in our lives to serve the Lord. And for a lot of those coming into the church at Corinth, they had recently become believers, so they didn't have a whole lot of time left in their lives to serve the Lord. And so Paul says, I want you to understand that the time is short. It's coming to a close. If you're going to serve the Lord, you need to serve the Lord. And basically, here's what he said. Whether you're married or whether you're single, it doesn't make any difference. Okay? We just need to make sure that we're busy serving the Lord. And in light of the difficulties, here's what Paul said. It would be better if you were to remain unmarried. You know, this I don't understand. You know, there are some people who look down at singleness. Had you ever thought that God may have just ordained or had it as His perfect will in the life of some individuals not to marry? Huh? Who are us to question? Is it sinful not to marry? No. Is it sinful to marry? No. There is no spirituality gauge based upon whether or not an individual is married or whether they're not married. It's immaterial when it comes to the relationship. And matter of fact, if you look at verse 30 and verse 31, I want you to kind of understand what Paul is saying in verse 30 and verse 31, because when you read it, it could be a little confusing when you think about it. But I want you to think about it this way. Paul deals with three things here. He deals with emotions, he deals with possessions, and he deals with pleasures. He said, for those that weep, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not. In other words, all this weeping and all of this rejoicing, all, he said, I want you to understand something. All that's going to come to an end one day. Even all of that that we do today. Next, he moves over to possessions. Those who buy. You know, for those, let me tell you something. Life is all about what they can possess. Life is all about what they can buy. Life is all about the newest gadget. It's about all of those. But my dear friend, listen to me. That's all going to end one day. It's all temporal. And then Paul moves over to pleasures. And in verse 31, he talks about that. And they that use this world. There are many that use this world for their own pleasure and for their own entertainment. But my dear friend, it's all going to close. It's all going to come to an end. That's why Paul says in verse 31, for the form of this or the fashion of this world, it's going to pass away. It's all going to be gone. And let me tell you something. At that point in time, it's not going to matter at all. As a matter of fact, whether you're married or single is not going to matter at all at that point. So here's what Paul said. I want you to understand the significance of this and where you are. However, I want you to also understand this. This did not mean that married people should file for divorce. Paul's counsel was to the unmarried here, not to the divorced. Okay? And so Paul didn't say, here's what I want you to do. You know, matter of fact, if we were to go based upon that approach, then every Christian ought to run out that's married and file for divorce because I can't serve the Lord as good being married as I can as I'm single. That's what Corinth thought. Based upon what teaching that they had seen. And this also did not mean that nobody should get married. But those who do marry must be ready to accept the trials that come with it. And I would venture to say that everyone sitting in this auditorium in here that are married have gone through your own set of trials and difficulties. Amen. I think every hand would probably go up here. And even today, there we are still experiencing some of those difficulties in this life that we live in. Why? Because there are difficulties and there are relationship things that take place in the lives of individuals. Matter of fact, if you look at verse 28, notice what Paul said. But, and if you marry, thou hast not sinned. If a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the what? You'll have trouble in the flesh. That's the facts of it. That's where it is. But Paul said that's not a reason to change where you are. Consider the present circumstances and where things are. In fact, the situation may become so difficult that even those already married will have to live as though they were not married. Imagine that. Are there ones who live that way today? Yes, there are. But we come to verse 32. Paul is going to deal with the next. He said, one of the things that you need to do, and I want to remind you of this, you need to make sure that you face the responsibilities honestly. Look at verse 32 through verse 35. Here's that word again. But I would have you without carefulness. In other words, Paul said, I don't want you to be anxious about this, okay? And just don't allow this to become a burden to you. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how that she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you. Basically what Paul said, I want you to understand, I'm not sharing this with you. I'm not providing this counsel to you to place another burden on you of another thing that you have to consider in your walk with the Lord. He said, that's not why I'm doing it. He says, but in verse 35, for that which is comely, and that you may attend upon the Lord without, notice what he says, without distraction. So what is Paul saying here? The emphasis in this paragraph from verse 32 through verse 35 is on the word care, which means to be anxious. It means to be pulled in different directions. Let me tell you what Paul said. Paul said, listen, I don't want you to be anxious about this. Because I'm going to tell you something. There are some who struggle with this in their life as a Christian. Matter of fact, I have spoken to some of them. And matter of fact, when I was in Bible college, it really used to concern me. And I'm just going to go ahead and share some things that are deep-seated in my heart tonight. At no point in time did God ever expect you to sacrifice your family on the altar of ministry. He did not. Because when you go read the qualifications of a pastor in the Word of God, you'll also find in that's listed in there, how in the world can a pastor take care of the house of God if he can't even take care of his own family in his own home? So Paul wants to make sure that you understand here that the subject that he's dealing with, he said, I'm not putting this on you as another burden. He said, but for the single person, they're not encumbered with all of those things that are associated with caring for two individuals as caring for one individual. It's much easier, Paul would say, to serve the Lord in a single capacity as it would in a married capacity. And why would he say that? Because there are certain things as a husband and wife, and there are certain things that the husband must make sure of that his wife is taken care of and her needs are attended to and all of those things that are associated with that. And is there anything bad with that? No, there's not. And matter of fact, the priorities in our life, here's what Paul is saying here. Here's what I want you to understand. But in doing all of that, you need to make sure that God is kept in the position that he ought to be in the relationship that you have with each other. The relationship with the husband and the relationship with the wife. It is impossible for two people to live together without any difficulties at all. It is just not going to happen. And here's what Paul was concerned about. Two individuals who are married, a husband and a wife, when they're married to each other, they must be concerned about the earthly needs of each other. Paul said, but then I got to thinking about Paul. I said, did you leave something out here? I said, single people have to worry about their earthly needs as well. Okay. So what difference is it? Here's what Paul is saying. Not only do you have to be concerned about your earthly needs as a husband, but you also have to be worried about the earthly needs of your wife. And then if you have any children, you got to be worried about or anxious about all of the needs of them. And then if you have any grandchildren, and if you have any great-grandchildren, and the list just goes on and on, Paul says you've got to be concerned about all of those, but as a single person. He said they don't. And so basically Paul says, if you look back at verse 33, but he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife and vice versa. Now, Paul did not suggest that it was impossible for a man and a woman to be married and serve God. It is not. Because I can tell you right now, I remember when God called me into the ministry. When I was in Bible college, I seen guys come to Bible college, come there married, and basically I'd hear them make this statement, and I used to cringe every time I heard it. Because I'd take them to the side and I'd try to counsel with them just a little bit out of the Word of God. You need to be careful what you just said, because here's what they'd say. Well, God called me, so God, I'm here. I'm giving 110% to you, so God, you need to take care and make sure my family's taken care of. That is not what he said. And so guess what? Many of them left Bible college without completing because their wife said, can't handle this. And that's sad. And I will tell you, you know, the calling into ministry and the calling into serving the Lord. Can a husband and a wife serve the Lord together under the umbrella of the Holy Spirit of God and have a very fruitful ministry serving together? Yes, they can. They surely can. As long as God is placed in the right priority of where he should be. But I want you to think about this. But the married servant of God must consider his or her mate. And we understand that. as well as the children of God that God may give them. You know, all the children. How many of y'all have grandchildren? Aren't grandchildren wonderful? How many of y'all have great grandchildren? I've heard that great grandchildren are even better than grandchildren. I don't know about that, huh? But let me ask you a question. Can you still serve the Lord as a husband and wife with children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and all of those things? Sure we can. Sure we can. Verse 36 to verse 38. Each situation is unique. Look at verse 36 through verse 38. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if he or if she pass the flower of her age and needs so require, let him do what he will, he sinneth not. Let them marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage does better. Now, I want to explain some things. I want you to explain to you the context of what Paul is dealing with here. Let me just go ahead and say this. The decision was up to the father. It's awful quiet in here. The decision was up to the father. But I want you to understand something here. During the time that Paul was writing this letter to the church at Corinth, marriages were prearranged. They were prearranged in this culture. Matter of fact, Rome and some of the other nations. And listen, there are some nations tonight on the face of the earth that still prearrange marriages. They're still prearranged. So let me ask you, young people, how many of y'all would like for your dads to prearrange your marriage for you? Matter of fact, to the point of whether or not you could get married or not get married. Because that's what he was able to do. So Paul said in those cases where they have been prearranged that the husband or the father says, no, I'm not going to allow her to be married to remain single. If he should such change his heart attitude about that or his mind, could he do so? And yes, he does not sin by doing that. And he does well, but Paul said, if you'd just leave her like that, you'd do a whole lot better than letting her get married. So how would y'all like to live, especially the young people, live during this time of Paul when your marriages are prearranged? So Paul dealt with that subject. Paul made it clear that the father had the freedom of choice whether or not he would give his daughter in marriage. And I will tell you that there are some fathers who will not give their blessing. I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to move on. Each situation is unique. And that's what Paul says here. And parents and children must seek. Let me tell you something. Here's the most important part when it comes to the relationship of marrying or not marrying. You ought to entertain what God's will is for your life. You need to determine what God's will is for your life. And each situation is unique. Okay? I mean, we can do all the setting up we want to try to do, but if God's perfect will is for you to remain single. Listen, there is absolutely nothing wrong with being single. And absolutely nothing wrong with being married and serving the Lord in that capacity. Listen, it takes more than two Christian people to make a happy marriage. I'm going to say that one more time. It takes more than two Christian people to make a happy marriage. Not every marriage that is scriptural is necessarily sensible. Verse 39 and verse 40. Finally, Paul said, I want you to remember that marriage is for life. It is God's will that the marriage union be permanent, a lifelong commitment between two. Look at verse 39 and verse 40. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband lives. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. So in other words, if your mate is a believer, then you are at liberty to remarry another believer. That's what Paul says. verse 40. But here comes Paul's. You know, I think Paul was partial to the single side, don't you? Because it seems like everywhere you go in chapter 7, okay, Paul says, but if you're single, stay that way, okay? If you're a mate, pass it. Listen, even though you're at liberty, he said, but stay that way. So it's almost like Paul is bent toward that direction. So in verse 40, he says, but if she is happier, if she so abide after my judgment, in other words, basically what Paul was saying, after my counsel for the benefit and the blessing of those who would like it, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. But Paul says, so if she's happier, let her abide that way. So as you think about this, there's some things I just want to kind of close and share with you is this. Paul closed the section here by telling the widows that they were free to marry, but only in the Lord, to make sure that the relationship, the new relationship, would be in the Lord where it should be. When two people are lovingly and joyfully committed to each other and to the Lord, the experience of marriage is one of enrichment and enlargement. They grow together and discover the richness of serving the Lord as a team in their home and in their church. It's a team effort. You know, a lot of people say, well, my relationship is 50-50. It shouldn't be. It ought to be 100-100. Amen? I mean, that's what it should be. We should all strive to work at it to make sure that we provide what is necessary. Paul's counsel makes it clear that God takes marriage seriously. And folks, He does. And I would only suspect that all that God sees today must make Him absolutely sick as He looks at a nation who's founded on the principles of the Word of God itself, trying to determine, as far as the Supreme Court of this land, to redefine marriage as to what it should be. God help us all where we are. And basically, Paul says we cannot disobey God's word without suffering painful consequences as a result. So Paul said, hey, if you're single, I wish you'd stay like I am, single. But if you should marry, these are the things that you need to consider when you marry. A very potent chapter. Chapter 7 is just, it's one of those that, how would you like to have to sit down and write this letter to the church at Corinth to ask their question? I would imagine the Corinthians were probably saying, that's the last time we'll ask Paul a question like that, okay? After getting back the dissertation from Paul. Well, let me tell you something. I hate to tell you this, but chapter 8 doesn't get any easier, okay? Nor does 9, nor does 10, nor does 11, okay? And so we have those yet to go through. But I trust this has been insightful for you. And I'm going to tell you something. I love our singles. And I tell you what, I have a burden also in this church to see a singles ministry get started. As we have many of them, and we have many single professionals. And that's that area that often in a church gets neglected and gets pushed to the side. And that's for singles. And I'm going to tell you something. They have a lot to offer. And guess what? I hate to tell you this, but they're loved by God just like they are. Okay? And God's call for them to be able to serve Him in that capacity. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. School's out. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. And just be careful tomorrow while you're out and about. And let's just remember all of those on our prayer list tonight. As we're dismissed in a word of prayer, and as we go tonight, Brother Charles Hunt, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?